Sometimes we have a difficulty accepting change, especially change in those that we know. We can even emphasize with the Nazareans on this, that we can know someone, or at least think we know someone, and when it's hard for us to accept that change. How many movies have been made on that concept of someone coming back to his town as a changed person, and the people of the town don't believe that? You know, the idea of, you know, our Lord says where a prophet is not accepted in his own native place is often the reason why priests aren't assigned to their home parish, at least not for a long time. Because there's always going to be those people that, oh, Father, I remember when you did whatever it might be. And usually it's some foolishness that Father did when he was in high school. And so people don't quite take what he has to say as credibly because they know what he was like way back when. Well, that kind of happened with our Lord because they thought they knew who he was. They thought they knew who Jesus was. You know, he was a carpenter and the carpenter's son. They knew who his family was. So they knew who Jesus was. All of a sudden he comes and starts telling these starts having these stories told about him. And there starts being these miracles they start hearing about. And all these things he's doing elsewhere. And they start wondering, well, who is this guy? We know him. How is he getting this knowledge? How is he able to do these miracles? We know all about him. So they began to question. They began to kind of wonder. It's like, is this guy for real? You know, I mean, and so our Lord challenged what they knew. They challenged that he wasn't just a carpenter and a son of a carpenter. And he pointed out that, you know, a prophet isn't accepted in his own hometown, which got them quite upset to the point that they wanted to kill him. Well, that's a good thing for us to think about. If the people who knew him, the people who lived with our Lord much of his life, didn't have a good image of who he was, maybe we should think about, how do we view our Lord? What is our image of who our Lord is? Do we really know who our Lord is? It's easy for us to put on some false images of our Lord, of what we've pictured our Lord to be, of who we've pictured our Lord to be. And unfortunately, these usually come out of an incomplete understanding of our Lord's teachings, an incomplete understanding of who he is. And that we can then distort his teachings to match our image. You know, instead of us being remade in our Lord's image, we end up remaking our Lord in ours. That he ends up looking like what we think he should. Probably one of the common ones that people might still remember were the hippie Jesus of the 60s and the 70s, where he was basically the first hippie. That he kind of looked like the stereotypical peacenik hippie of the time, that just he just goes along to get along. He's not out there to hurt anyone. He's just kind of drifting through life. You know, the Doobie Brothers, Jesus is just all right with me. That's the image of Jesus that was popular then. And he, you know, of course he is the King of Peace, but it's an incomplete vision of who Jesus was. There's one that's popular in academic circles of trying to find the historic Jesus. Who was the real Jesus? And of course, this one always seems to crop up about, oh, Easter time, Christmas time, usually more towards Easter, of, you know, the church changed who the real Jesus was, and we need to find who the real Jesus was. And of course, this Jesus, this real Jesus, happens to look like the scholar who's trying to find the real Jesus. He remakes Jesus in his image, not the other way around. Well, of course, Jesus is beyond all these images that we place on him, because usually these images have some grain of truth to them. There's usually some reality to them, but there's also some fiction. Jesus is beyond those images, and he is calling us to go beyond what we have perceived him to be. He is calling us to come to know him better, to know who he really is, to know him more completely, to know him as deeply as he knows us, to really enter into that relationship with the one who knew us before we were even formed in the womb, as the prophet Isaiah says. To come to know him and to come to get beyond our perceptions of him. You know, he is the source of all creation. He is the one through whom all things were made, as we say in the creed. And so our image of him is going to be incomplete. But the more we spend time with him, the more we fill in that picture. It's like working on a puzzle, a jigsaw puzzle. When you start, it's very incomplete. It's a bunch of random pieces. But as we connect pieces together, more and more of the picture starts coming out until we put that last piece in, assuming it hasn't got lost. We put that last piece in and we see the full picture. Well, in the same way, the more time we spend with our Lord, we come to know him better. We come to grow in love, as St. Paul so beautifully describes in the second reading. And the more that we come to love him, to know him and to love him, the more we desire to be with him, to be in his presence. But that love does not stay within us. The more we come to love our Lord, we come to love those around us. That love draws us out of ourselves to love others, fulfilling the two great commandments: love God above all things and love our neighbor as ourself. And as we do come to know him better, eventually those false images we have for our Lord fade away. They disappear. We come to know better who he truly is. And as we have that true understanding of who he really is, it leads us to his salvation. And of course, that's what it's all about, is being led to his salvation. So may we not react by holding on to that false image that we have of our Lord, but to truly respond with love for him and to seek to know him better, to see him as he truly is.